Luke chapter 9 tonight, so we're starting a new chapter. The chapters in Luke are long. This one has 62 verses in it. But I want to remind you of what happened in chapter 8 before we go to chapter 9 tonight, because in chapter 9 we're going to see that Jesus sends the disciples out on their own, so to speak. He commissions them and empowers them and sends them out to preach and to heal. But I think it's important that we remember what they had just experienced, what they had just seen Jesus do. You remember in chapter 8, they got on a boat and they went out to the middle of the sea or lake of Galilee. Jesus fell asleep. A storm came up. The water started coming into the boat. The disciples thought they were going to drown, thought they were going to die. They went back and woke Jesus up, and he stood up and rebuked the wind and rebuked the waves. And immediately there was a stillness, there was a peace on the lake. And he rebuked him a little bit. He said, "Where's your faith? I mean, he said, you could have done the same thing. And why would you worry about being killed when you're with me?" And so they saw his power over the storm. When they got to the other side of the lake, they met a man that was possessed of many demons. Jesus cast those demons out. And you remember when the demons were about to be cast out, they asked Jesus, "Okay, instead of sending us into the abyss, could you just send us into this herd of swine, herd of pigs that are over here?" And Jesus said, "Yep, go ahead." The devils left the man. Now, this was a guy that lived in the tombs, was naked most of the time. When they could bind him, he would break the chains. And when the townspeople came and saw him, he was sitting fully clothed, the demons gone. So the disciples saw the power that Jesus had over demons. Saw the power he had over the storm, saw the power he had over the demons. The next thing that happened was that he came back to town. There was a large group of people that met him. A ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, came to him and begged him to come to his house because his little girl, 12 years old, his only child, was dying, and he wanted Jesus to come and heal her. Well, as they started toward his house, a lady who had had a sickness, an illness, for a long time, had spent all her savings and all her living for doctors and was none better, came up behind him and touched the hem of his garment and was immediately healed. Jesus felt that virtue, he called it, go out of his body, stopped, asked the question, "Who touched me?" Of course, there were many people crowding around him wanting to touch him. And Peter asked the question, why would you ask that question? I mean, all these people are trying to touch you. And Jesus said, "No, it was a special touch. Power's gone out of me." And the lady finally confessed and testified. Said, "Hey, I've been sick a long time. Nobody's been able to help me. I thought if I could just come and touch the hem of your garments, I would be healed." And I was immediately healed. And so the disciples saw his power over the storm. They saw his power over the demons. They saw his power over sickness. And then they got, when Jesus was still talking to the lady, a servant messenger came from Jairus' house and said, "Don't bother the master anymore, the teacher anymore. Your daughter has died. There's really no reason for him to come to the house." And Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just keep believing." And this is the event we talked about last week. Jesus came to Jairus' house. The girl was indeed dead. But he took her by the hand, said, "Maid, arise," and she came back to life. Her spirit was returned, her soul was returned, and she came back to life. Now, Peter, James, and John, and the young lady's mom and dad were the only ones in the room. And Jesus did tell them, you know, don't tell anybody. But for sure, Peter, James, and John went out and told the rest of the disciples. So now they had not only seen firsthand Jesus' power over the storm, not only had they just seen firsthand his power over the demons, not only had they seen just firsthand his power over sickness, now they saw, at least three of them did, firsthand his power over death. So just keep all that in mind as we start chapter 9 tonight. Here's what the Bible says in verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together. So I would just remind you that Judas is still in the group at this point. He hadn't betrayed Christ yet. He was still one of the 12. So he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Okay? So again, believe it or not, his earthly ministry is coming to an end. He wants to make a bigger impact. He wants to reach more people. And he wants to get his disciples out on their own. And so he calls them together. He says, all right, I'm going to send you out. I want you to go into the different villages. I want you to go into the different cities. I want you to preach about the kingdom of God. As you go, I'm going to give you power. I'm going to give you my power. And I'm going to give you authority over all devils and to cure diseases. You know, there's a difference between power and authority. You can have one or the other, but in some cases you don't have both. You could have power and no authority. In other words, you could have power but nobody listens to you, or you could have authority but no power to make people do what you say. Jesus says, "I'm giving you both. I'm giving you power and authority. You have power, for example, to cast out demons, and I'm giving you authority over them." Now again, these were fallen angels. And Jesus says, I'm giving you authority over them. You can cast them out, just like you saw me do to that man where the demons left him and went into the pigs. You can do the same thing. And I'm giving you power and authority over disease. You have the power to heal. You have the authority over sickness. You can tell sickness to go, and it will leave. And I want you to go out and do both. Now again, just think that you had just seen what we talked about in chapter 8. The power over the storm, the power over the demons, the power over sickness, the power over death. And now Jesus calls these 12 together and said, now I want you to go and do the same thing I've done. I want you to go and I want you to preach. And of course, they had been hearing him preach. I want you to go preach. I want you to cast out demons. And I want you to heal. You remember, I was thinking about this when I was studying this week. You remember when Jesus called Philip. And then Philip went and called Nathanael. And he found Nathanael under a fig tree and said, hey, Nathanael, we found the Messiah. Come and see. And he said, he's from Nazareth. And Nathanael said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip brought Nathanael to Jesus. And Jesus said, hey, when Philip called you under the tree, I saw you. And Nathanael said, boy, you must really be, and he didn't say boy, but he said, man, you must really be the Messiah. And Jesus said, hey, just because I told you that I saw you sitting under the fig tree when Philip called, came to you, you think I'm the Messiah? You're going to see greater things than this. You're going to see greater things than this. And Jesus made the promise. He says, you're going to do greater things than I've done. And so here he was, first time the disciples are out solo, so to speak, given the power and authority by Christ. Verse 2, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He said, I want you to go preach about the kingdom. I want you to go preach about how to get into the kingdom and what the kingdom of God means. Again, we've been talking on Sunday morning what it means to belong to the kingdom of God. He said, I want you to go tell people how to get into it. I want you to go tell people that are already in it how to live. And as you go, I want you to heal the sick. So now look at verses 3, 4, and 5. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves or walking sticks, nor scrip, money, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when ye go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. So Jesus said, now look, I don't want you to prepare. I just want you to go. You don't need to go home and pack. You don't even need to go home and get your extra walking stick. You just go and preach, and you go and heal, and you go and cast out demons. Don't worry about what you'll need while you're gone. Just find people that will take you in and feed you and take care of your physical needs. I'll make sure that there's people to do that wherever you go. And they will take care of you. And when you go into their house, just stay until you get ready to leave that city. Now, he says in verse 5, and if you go into a place that nobody will receive you, then just leave. And as you leave that place, shake the very dust of that city off your feet. Now, that's what the Pharisees did when they went into a city of Gentiles. They would go into that city. If they were having to pass through, most of them tried to avoid even passing through. In fact, many of the Pharisees would not travel through Samaria. They would make a big deep detour around it to avoid going into the city of the Gentiles. And if they had to go through a city of the Gentiles, when they got out of it, they would just shake the dust off of their feet. And Jesus said, if you go into a place and nobody receives you, just shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. And they departed, the 12 departed, and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. So they preached the good news of Jesus Christ. He hadn't died yet. They were still looking forward to what he was going to do. I don't know if the disciples completely understood it yet, but they preached the gospel. They preached that the Messiah had come. And they healed everywhere. So everywhere they went, again, everywhere they went, somebody was healed. Everywhere they went, sickness was commanded to leave, and it left people. Now, and think about it. I think all the disciples participated in this. I think even Judas went out and preached. I think Judas went out and healed. I think Judas went out and cast out demons. He did it not in his name, but in the power of Christ, as Christ gave him that power and authority. So they were obedient. They left just with what they had. They didn't take a lot of stuff with them. They put their faith in the instruction that Christ gave them, that they would be taken care of wherever they went, and they were. Verse 7, now Herod, the tetrarch, heard of all that was done by him, all that was done by Christ. And by the way, I think when Jesus sent his disciples out, he just didn't go somewhere and sort of take a little vacation because his disciples were gone. I think he continued his preaching. He continued his teaching. He continued his healing. And so when Herod heard of all that was done by him, the word spread. I mean, raising Jairus' daughter. I'm sure Herod heard about that. The lady that was sick, that was healed in front of a big crowd. I'm sure Herod heard about that. Probably even the demons that were cast out of the man and into the pigs. Herod heard about that. And so when Herod heard of all that, he was puzzled. He was perplexed. Because then it was said of some that John was risen from the dead. Now, remember, that John is John the Baptist. Herod had him beheaded. Now, you remember the story. Herod had married his brother's sister. Herod was a ruler. He had a brother named Philip who was just a common citizen. And Herod convinced Herodias, Philip's wife, to leave her husband and marry him. I'm sure she had no problem leaving just an ordinary citizen to marry a ruler. John the Baptist rebuked Herod about that. He says, not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Herod, as a result of that, threw him in jail. Herodias wanted him killed. And I'm sure that Herod did everything he could. In fact, the Bible tells us not to kill John, because he knew that John was a prophet. He listened to John. Even when he was in prison, I think he went and listened to him. And he did his best to keep John alive. But you remember the story. He was having his birthday party. He got drunk. Herodias' daughter came in and danced for him. And he said, tell me what you want. I'll give it to you, even part of my kingdom. And after consulting with her mother, this girl said, I want the head of John the Baptist in a charger or on a platter. And so Herod, not to look bad in front of the other people that were with him when he made this promise, commanded the executioner to go and cut off John's head and bring it to him. And so he was perplexed. Let me go ahead and read verses 8 and 9. And of some that Elias had appeared, and others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. Apparently he believed the people that were saying, hey, this is John the Baptist risen from the dead. And so he said, hey, I killed him. I cut off his head. Who is this guy that is doing all these things? Has he indeed come back to life? I've often wondered. I wonder what Herodias did with John's head. I wonder if she kept it as a trophy. Or I wonder if she discarded it. If she kept it, Herod could have just gone and said, hey, let me see that head and see if you still got it. Or if it's reattached and he's come back to life. I don't know. But notice the last part. And he desired to see him. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see the miracles that Jesus was performing. In fact, when Jesus came to Herod, when Pilate sent it to him, you remember what he asked for? Show us a miracle. Before Herod sent him back to Pilate. Verse 10. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. So when the disciples came back, they got together. And this is one of those scenes I've tried to imagine what it must have been like. I'm sure all 12 of them wanted to talk at the same time. I'm sure all 12 of them wanted to share their experience with Christ. I'm sure they all had wonderful stories to tell. And again, I can just see them gathered around Jesus, sharing the people that they'd healed, sharing the people that had come into the kingdom of God, sharing the demons that had been cast out, sharing the testimonies of the people that they had healed. And again, Jesus said, well, he took them to a desert place, apart from all the other people. Now, next week when we do verse 11, we're going to see where the people found out about it, and they followed them there. So they didn't really have much private time when they were there. But they shared what they had done for Christ. They shared that how they had used his power and his authority to do what he commanded them to do. And I can't help but think. Now listen, we've been commissioned the same way that the disciples were. That promise that we would do greater things than he would, that he made to his disciples, he also made to us. And through the Holy Spirit, we can do greater things than Jesus did. And I know God knows everything, and I know that Jesus knows everything. There's not a thing that happens in our life that he's not aware of. There's not a thing that happens any moment of our life that he's not aware of. But I can't help but think, when we get to heaven, if we might not want to do the same things that the disciples did. And just say, Lord, I just want to tell you about this. I know it was your power. I know I did it in your authority. It wasn't me. It was you. But there was, there was something that really special that happened. And I know you already know about it, but I just want to tell you about it. I think that when we get to heaven, we may have those same feelings, that we just want to share how God's power worked in our life to impact other people. And we'll have the opportunity, I think, to do that. All right, we're going to quit there tonight. Thank you for being here. Let's stand together. We'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.